Welcome to the Paris Hodges Podcast, a space for conversations rooted in curiosity of these divinely created bodies we've been given and this human experience as a whole. This is a space where we will explore all the complexity and nuance of existing on this spinning rock, while I share story and dialogue with some individuals I consider to be great investigators of our bodies, many of which have had profound impact on my journey and understandings. I'm grateful you are here. Let's dive in. Greetings and hallucinations, friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Paris Hodges Podcast. My guest today is my dear friend, Courtney Ballard. There's really not words that do justice to who Courtney is in my life and the woman that I get to witness as a result. Courtney has transformed my relationship through our friendship with through prayer, through her access to provision in the mundane moments of life, the seemingly mundane moments of life. And Courtney meets all of her experiences with this childlike joy and wonder that has gifted me the opportunity to integrate it into my own life. And so this conversation, though, in original form, was to discuss sourdough. You will come to learn that we touch a lot of places. And as a result, there's a lot of laughter and a lot of deep exploration as two curious dialoguers would touch. But there's so much richness in this that really doesn't, this introduction is not going to give any level of justice to that. So my hope and prayer is that the words touch something in you that help you to remember the opportunity to be a collaborator with the creator. And if that looks like sourdough or some other way to allow yourself to be the paintbrush in his hands, I hope that you find it. And either way, enjoy this conversation. On the provision of sourdough.
Here we go.
Welcome, Courtney.
Hello.
I'm so excited for this conversation. So thank you for sharing your time with me. For anybody who doesn't know, too, Courtney is a woman who was guided into my field of awareness. I don't ever even know how to say that type of stuff. But she came in, she was guided into my life through some different online spaces that we both similarly inhabit. And then we also came to understand that we touched many different same worlds before we ever knew that the other one like actually existed. And there was a question that I posed in one of the groups that we were in, and Courtney's response to it shook me at my core. And I was like, who is this woman? And how do I become friends with her? And what has unfolded has been one of the most beautiful, rich friendships that I've ever had the honor of being called into. And so sharing this conversation, like recorded and out into the world, feels so special to me. So thank you, Courtney.
Yay. Thanks for having me. What a Delightful introduction. That was wonderful. I am looking forward to our time together.
Me too. So the intention behind this is you have a sourdough class coming up soon. And oh. I wanted to share about your first to kind of go into like what called you into the practice of sourdough, because your sourdough practice has also helped transform my life. And I've been able to sit in and learn from you around that all, as well as like many of your gifts of prayer and of writing and just simply being a woman. And I would love to hear more about you and what's called you into this all.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, first I must preface this with like, leave it to two women like us to turn bread into this like whole ordeal of a conversation. It's so funny. Yeah. Well, you know, sourdough is trending right now because like homesteading is trending right now, which is all great. I really, really love it because I'm really thankful for the ways in which many are getting back to our roots of like using our hands to be connected to like what we've come from, like the earth, to nature, and then feeding our bodies with that. And to be honest, like that was not my intention when I got into it. So in my relationship, when I first entered into it, my partner, he would make food for us all the time, but that was not his ultimate desire. So once I moved in, like I realized that he would make like subtle nudges at wanting me to be the one to take over on like more of the home experiences, you know, cooking, cleaning, et cetera. And I cooked a lot as a teenager because I took on like a very motherly role, but like in my young 20s and such, I never spent a lot of time in the kitchen. Like the kitchen was actually the place that was very just like rush, hurried. Like I joke, but it's serious that it's not serious, it's just true that prior to meeting him, my day-to-day life with food was like I'd wake up, I'd drink a bunch of coffee with a bunch of stevia. I eat some carrots. And then around 2 to 2 o'clock, I'd probably have a protein bar. And then I'd eat dinner at like 10 o'clock. And the dinner was like a salad with chicken. It was so lame. And when I met him and we were like eating real meals, and I was like, what is this? I don't eat real meals. Anyways, all like, this is the whole backstory of getting into sourdough, because when I realized like, I'm going to have to really start learning how to cook not just a basic dinner, but like his desire was that I could do handcrafted. Like he'd turn on, we'd watch so many Gordon Ramsay shows and videos. And I'm like, well, shoot, like this is like a serious deal of cooking. This is not just like you make a dish of pasta. So I bought Masterclass, which teaches all sorts of different stuff. Yeah.
No, they had a masterclass for sourdough. That's so great.
I didn't either. I bought Masterclass to learn from Gordon Ramsay. I didn't even end up using very much of it. I learned a thing or two from Gordon Ramsay, but when I was in it, I saw a sourdough class and I was so intrigued. I didn't even know that sourdough was starting to trend again, but I saw that and I was like, oh, my dad loved sourdough bread when I was a kid. And, baking to me, it's a lot different than cooking. I like baking a lot more. But anyways, that's another conversation. So I started to learn and I was very overwhelmed at first because like, if you're new to cooking and baking and you start learning sourdough, it's this like, and you're learning from people who've been doing it for 30 years. I'm like, this is some scientific equation. Like, what am I doing? And I hated it. And my first few starters, one of them got moldy. And then like, you know, once you've asked me about the float test, I kept trying the float test. It kept not working. Yeah, I just kept having like failure after failure. And eventually I was like, forget it. I don't want to do this. And Petey was like, it's fine. We don't need bread. Like, learn something else. I was like, cool. So after like 3 months, I was like, I'm done. But then it somehow came back. I think like a friend of mine was doing it. And I was like, all right, I'm going to try this again. So I did, figured it out. What I figured out was listen to as little people. This is just my motto with a lot of things in life, actually, not just sourdough. Listen to one or two people that you really resonate with. Like, do your research. You know, if you want to do a good amount of research, good. But eventually the research stops and you just go and get your hands dirty and you do it and you figure out like what works for you. And as you know, like, there are a lot of things people say online about baking sourdough that like just don't work for me. And I'm cool with that. So I got into my routine, like riding a bike. Like, I learned what was comfortable and familiar for me to be able to do on a routine basis, where I can now make 1 to 2 loaves a week and not think about it. And that was fairly easy to get into once I just like let myself create a practice out of it, not necessarily like need to do everything exactly the way I would hear about it. And with that is like, you'll read so many different things about how to make sourdough. And this is the case with anything in life. Like, everyone has a different way of doing something. So yeah, that's how it unfolded.
I'm so glad you named that part, because that was where I wanted to guide that.
Okay.
Just like of you and I have had lots of conversations about that piece around, it's so easy to make everything in the world dogma or some monotheistic, like external judge or God, when realistically we just have to go through the process. It's the practical application of actually doing and learning, because nobody's inside of your body or inside of your individual home, and the humidity inside of your home, or like everything
Right.
that's contributing, which is the really beautiful thing about sourdough, right? Like, your home contributes to the microbial growth inside of that bread starter. And nobody else, it's like some outsider looking into your family going, this is how you should be doing it. Why aren't you doing it some other way?
Yeah. Oh, it's such an interesting thing that I've gone like, I apply this to every area of my life of like outsiders' reflections holding very, very, very minuscule weight. And I mean, and I've had countless mentors, teachers, taken enough courses, but it's all kind of led me to this. The only way you really find out the truth is experiencing it for yourself and within. Yeah. And with sourdough, like, I mean, you have the more eclectic language. That is not my expertise in it, but yes, your home will affect the way it rises. Your home will affect how, like the, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, the ratios that might need to shift. I think of it even just like plants, you know, they're, it's a starter is a living thing. That's probably my favorite thing about sourdough is it's alive, and it has to be alive for it to rise. And just like a plant, you know, plants are affected by the most like minuscule things that we don't really think about, which is essentially just a frequency. Like, plants are feeding off of frequencies. So you could water it and feed it all correctly, but if the plant is surrounded by like shame, judgment, ridicule, anger, it's going to wilt. And so I don't actually really talk about this in sourdough class because that's a whole deeper dive conversation. You know, I just teach people what to do. But the truth is, if the frequency of your home is vibrating at a level below courage, a level below courage or truth, chances are you're gonna have a hard time making bread. So
I
yeah.
love that God took us there already.
I know. It's great. It's hard for me not to go there. Yeah.
as a fellow intrepid, how do you say that word? Intrepid.
Don't ask me. I say words and Petey's like, what did you just say? I can't say words very well. So
as a fellow deep diver of this
life. Yeah, there you go. Let's keep it basic here.
I am right there with you, Courtney. Like, let's dive into what's really happening with sourdough.
Yeah. It's not just the basics. It's not just the ingredients. But I think that's actually a really great place for us as humans to like really begin to understand what's happening in the life around us that isn't just based upon the very basics of what we think is causing everything that's around us. Like, let's say, for example, and I don't really know near as much about this as you would with like the human body, and say like, I read something today on Facebook, someone saying like, we're not losing weight and gaining weight simply based upon calories in, calories out. Like there's did you see that?
I think,
yeah.
If we're okay, thinking of the same individual who posted it, and it was about like working out and stuff too.
Yeah.
I screenshotted it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I don't get like really intricate in the studying of the human body. But what I have learned is that everything is a byproduct of energy. Like we are obviously made up of energy, and every particle of life is vibrating at a certain frequency. And I find it really fascinating to be able to break down to what I actually see as the most basic functioning, but a really beautiful functioning of life, is that we're all emitting frequencies and receiving frequencies at all time. And I think if we actually started to see food that way, food could be a whole different type of conversation, rather than just like, you know, homesteading has become so big, and I get it. If we're talking about frequency, there is a much higher frequency when we're living connected to our roots and our nature. But I also wonder if we're not recognizing that, and then it becomes another like control mechanism of like, I need all the ingredients to be holistic and natural. And you saw I posted something about this today after our conversation. Like, is it really hitting the point of what we're looking for? So, yeah.
Yeah. Ugh. So good. This is the thing too, that I think some people can get really intimidated by the word like frequency or energy, is realistically like what we're naming is, it's the spirit of something.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. And we don't measure heat. We don't measure darkness. We don't measure cold, and we don't measure darkness. We measure the absence of heat. We measure mm-hmm. the absence of the spirit inside of something, which is for me had been one of the really intimidating parts of like bringing, it sounds like I'm bringing like a human into my family, like
yeah.
bringing the sourdough starter into my life. Cause I went through your first sourdough class, like, and at that point in time, Grayson and I were in a situation where it didn't feel accessible to me at that moment or like realistic to start a sourdough. Like it would have been like us trying to have a dog possibly yeah. about to be living out of our car.
Yeah.
It just didn't make sense. And so I went through it all because I love, you're just one of my favorite humans that I love learning alongside. And so I got to partake in that, despite that I didn't have like a living, breathing organism yet in my hands. And then in the beautiful way that God orchestrated my life, while I was out in Utah being of service to my family, my brother had ordered a sourdough starter because I wanted to help. Like, that's just where I feel the most comfortable, is in mm-hmm. the kitchen serving from that posture. And of course, then you and I were having conversations, and Paul ended up ordering a sourdough starter online because he always makes sourdough. I don't know if you know that yet. That
your brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you had told me that. Mm-hmm.
He has a starter that I now have the Hodges heirloom starter too. Cute. But it started the day before my nephew was born in 2020. Wow. And so this is now almost 4 years old. Wow. And so Paul makes sourdough bread all the time. Like that one video where she's like the crunchy satire sort of.
Oh, yeah.
Where the calendar is all booked out, like with folds.
Yeah.
And everything, that's my brother, which is the most amazing thing in the entire world. Cause talk about like masculine provision in action. And he's a Cancer. I love that man to death. But all of that to say, while we were there, I started playing around with sourdough discard, quote unquote, discard sourdough starter recipes. And that was like my toe in. It was like my hand holding as I was like courting and dating sourdough bread.
Cute. It's funny. I have a lot of friends who end up being more comfortable starting out with discard recipes, which is great because they don't require like the necessity of it being at its like awake state for the rising of bread. So it is a good intro.
It's really interesting to me because they're actually far more complex than bread.
Oh, they are. I mean, because they require, I mean, because yeah, if you're baking like a cake or banana bread even, or biscuits, or, you know, there's all these other ingredients, and sourdough bread is literally starter, flour, water, salt. Like when people ask me, will I need to go to get a bunch of stuff? I'm like, no, you won't. You should have all these ingredients in your house. So yeah.
Yeah. And that's exactly what I thought. And I was really scared. So the day after Christmas, my brother let me go down and get starter out of his refrigerator because he was gone, and I brought it back. Like, here I was with the little baby on Christmas Day. That's all processing right now in active motion.
I love it.
We are celebrating the birth, and I bring home this living organism. Nurture and nourish. And it's really been like, I think about that a lot. Like if I haven't fed it on time,
mm-hmm.
or something, I'm like, oh my goodness, it probably has its feelings hurt.
Oh my gosh. Ah, that's hilarious. No, sourdough starter might experience a little bit of deficit, but it's always revivable. Well, maybe not always, but they're usually pretty easy to revive. So, you know, you just give it a little love and it should be okay. Yeah.
Well, what a reflection of dating, getting the courtship. And then, so I finally entered a covenant with the sourdough starter. And I baked my first bread, and I love to refer to you as my sourdough doula. Because one of the things that you and I have had conversations about off of podcasts is around the reflection, how our life is art, right? Like you and I have walked through a haiku practice like together twice now around like the really beholding of what's in your hands as the artwork of our life. And so it's hard for me to not see the provision gifted in the opportunity to nurture more life through bread making. And then all of the patterns that show up.
Yeah, there are so many different forms that we can be expressive in creating art with our hands. Some that are really basic, some that are more complex, some that like give back to us by, you know, our consumption of it, like food. But I'm really fascinated by getting to live in connection to all of these different aspects of creation through, like, that's what we are as human beings, is like meant to stay in continual connection to creation. As you said, like in our prayer before we hit record, like being the paintbrush, I think is what you said. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And bread is not the only way to do that. And, you know, not everyone wants to make bread, and that's cool. And some people don't like bread, and I don't get them, and they're usually not my friend. I'm just kidding. But no, I'm just kidding. But there are so many different ways to make art out of our lives. And it's not always by, like, here's the other thing. It's not always some big production. You know, like, I'm very aware that at this time in life, and also just through the patterning of myself, like, I'm aware of this within myself, the way in which when I think about, or like I get sparked with inspiration to do something, my immediate thought wants to go to love. Beautiful, wonderful thing. But the true, like, divine dance of being connected to the creator is that you just get the hit of inspiration and you follow and you go forth, and you don't have to know how it's all going to pan out into this big, wonderful thing just in order to obey that nudge.
It was so good. And it, like, paused. You...
Oh,
right when you said the spark of inspiration, whatever you were saying was like, come through, because it, like,
oh wait, did it not go through?
Yeah. And then it came, but it came back online right at that really beautiful point when you were talking about the, you, like, right when you landed the plane.
Okay, well, that's great. That was enough then. The point was made. But yeah, that was something really wonderful for me to come in touch. That was another intention with bread making and just other hobbies I've endeavored in the last few years, when it stopped being about making money and entrepreneuring and all the things. It was more just about, like, I want to be in connection to who I really am as a creator, and I want to explore in so many different ways. And continue exploring, like, there are multiple different endeavors that I, like, have my intention towards right now that I'm still a little terrified about. And I know that that terror I feel is simply because I'm so fixated on feeling so far away from the end result and not knowing how I'm going to get there. So mm-hmm. If I can just take one small tiny step, like, as an example, one of these is sewing. And so I've had this sewing machine sitting upstairs for, oh God, forever. And just sits there, and I just walk past it every once in a while, and I'm like, I pretend like I don't see it. So it was like a week ago, I decided I'm just going to sit down today and I'm going to learn each part of the sewing machine and what it does. That was quite the experience. And it's so funny to me because when you watch a kid learn to do something new, it's all just about being curious. Like, yeah, I'm sure it's exciting for a kid who's learning how to sew to, like, have a really beautiful, let's say, like, a young girl, like, to have a really beautiful dress that she's going to wear. I'm sure she's so excited when she sees that dress. But I don't know, when I watch kids do things, I watch them expand in curiosity of being like, oh, I wonder why this needle goes here, and, like, what happens next if it does this, and I wonder if it does, if I put it here, if what it does when I put it, you know, like, they're just, like, so curious. And the question to be asked is, when did I lose touch with that like childlike nature that is just so curious and excited to find out what happens when I press this button or when I put in this amount of salt. And yeah, I think that's where all things stemmed from, was someone was just curious.
This is the part of the conversation that I really love that we get to bring forward, because these are like all of the pieces that I really have come to learn from witnessing you in your practice of life, of how you touch that childlike joy. Like the woman that I receive you as is one that is so connected to that, be letting God awe you and being awestruck in childlike wonder and curiosity, which is like that's the mandate on our life, right? Like that's the assignment that we were gifted from our original genesis here on this planet. And how much we get caught in that storyline of grandiosity and overproduction, when realistically, like, life is found in the nooks and crannies and like the bubbles of sourdough, or in the like, where does the needle go, in the curious spaces. And it's not found in the perfectionism, because perfectionism is an illusion, but in the right containment, life will flow through.
This is why I really just love spending time with kids, because it reminds me of that place within myself that isn't so fixated on needing everything to go a certain way. And as a kid, if we had it like trained out of us, which I don't think we can ever have it fully trained out of us, but if the attempt unconsciously by whomever trained it out of us to remove our sight from that curiosity to shifting it to something, like for me at a young age, I started doing competitive cheerleading, which was not in tune with that place of me that was full of wonder and discovery. It was all fixated on like, there was a lot of perfectionism in that culture. Like your bow has to be perfect, and you're like literally graded on your makeup and your spandex. And like a 6-year-old going through that is a very formative experience. Nothing is too far gone. You know, I'm well aware that even at many years later, I can get back in tune, you know, like far before I was born, far, far, far before I was born, I was created with this innate, inherent way of being that knows what it's like to live in wonder. And so every day of my life is uncovering the layers that have blocked that innate and inherent beingness.
This feels like sitting in a yin spa.
Oh, I would. I'm gonna go to. I want a yin spa. Maybe that. Yin spa. That just sounds lovely.
Just bathing in the like the beauty of what we get to do as humans, just simply from making sourdough.
Yeah, that's where it started, was bread. And lo and behold, I had no clue. But it's so fun when things start that way, where genuinely you're just like, this sounds like something fun I want to do. And I think the trick is not to get so caught up in needing it to go the way that we think it's supposed to go. Like the removal of planning, controlling, fixing, let it happen. You'll learn as you go. Your first loaf of bread might be a flat pancake. Great. You know, like mine was literally a flat pancake, but it tasted really good. And so I was like, that was enough for me to keep going. And then I think my next loaf, I forgot to put salt in it. And I was like, this is unedible.
I did the same exact thing.
I remembered you did it with your pizza dough. Yeah, it sucks. It's the worst. Don't forget your salt, because it's literally, I swear it's not even worth eating without salt.
It's so great that you have a better memory than I do. I forgot that I did that on that pizza dough.
It's such a memorable thing to me because I swear forgetting salt is just something that it's not true. If it happens, you just add salt when you eat the bread. It's fine. But I don't know. It's something that you just can't go back and fix, in my opinion. But in line with the conversation, whatever, like make another loaf, do it again. You'll remember this time.
Oh, totally. Totally. Well, that was, my second loaf of bread in true Paris form, right? I did the first one. It turned out like so beautiful. So I decided in the second one, I'm going to make two loaves instead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I just feed my starter all the time. I don't discard anything. So I have like a sizable amount of starter going.
Yeah.
So I was like, I should make two loaves and forgot the salt in both of the loaves.
Oh, sad. Oh, sad.
But then I learned how to make a really good salted crust.
Perfect. There you go. See, there's always, well, and you know what? Like I was saying earlier, everything stemmed from someone being curious. When something goes wrong, it's an opportunity for something new to be created. Because like, in what world of right and wrongs do we want to live in anyways? So yeah, if you forget salt, try something. Figure it out.
Yeah, when something goes wrong, it's an opportunity for something new to be created.
Yeah. Because nothing ever actually goes wrong. It goes the way it goes. We label it as wrong. And then that creates this whole experience that is less than satisfactory because we called it wrong. It wasn't wrong. It was just an opportunity. And I get it. Like in some situations in life, that is so much, or it's so less easy in certain situations than others, but it's applicable to anything. So
it is. I mean,
people might fight me on that one, right and wrong, but that's okay.
I've actually arm wrestled a lot of people about this
reason. Have you?
It's been like, please God, please guide me.
Yeah. Protect me. See, from the people that want to argue. I'm not here to argue.
Exactly. I'm just here to experience. Bill Johnson dropped the best. I'm not even going to say bomb because that's already like war.
not the right input.
No, he said it. He said it from like a biblical standpoint around that every opportunity is for our spiritual growth. That if God didn't want that stuff to be happening, oh, this is going to go off the rails. People might be, anyways, it doesn't matter. If God didn't want that to, if God wanted, it would all be obliterated in a moment, but none of us would grow if all we did was stand in like, just, and you know, stillness, we wouldn't be molded at all. These, as devastating as like they're, the real tragedies that exist in the world or in our lives, like we're two individuals that have both walked through really extensive journeys. But they've all served to bring us to this here moment that I can't, it would be dishonoring to say that not, that all of that wasn't provisional when it's allowed me to receive what's in my hands right now.
Did you listen to that whole interview I did with Jesse?
I'm almost done. And I was just about to mention that you've now started these provision conversations and they're just so good.
Oh, thank you. Well, so we actually talked about provision and because when you're talking about like tragedy, and that was probably like the most interesting part of the conversation for me, because, he brought up like a human that might pass away after like 3 days, and how to most people it's really tragic. And to him, he was like, but what if it was just the soul coming and experiencing the lesson that it needed to experience and knocking it out in 3 days? Like, boom, cool. And it really just goes, and I get it, like that can be very controversial, and I've experienced many deaths of loved ones in my life, and I'll never forget a man in my life who was supporting me in like a more health realm. He said something to me like, what if a part of your brother's purpose on earth was to teach you letting go? And he had to do that by leaving at a really young age. And when he told me that, I could feel some resistance because I was kind of like, you're trying to remove grief from me in a way that I don't want it to be removed. But that also revealed to me that I wanted to hold on to grief. Nonetheless, that was like a year and a half ago. And it's come up more recently as I've recognized how much I've like held on to grief as a best friend. And I say this because when you bring up the provision of what is deemed as tragedy, like I'm not here to say there aren't certain acts that are done, actions that are done in the world that aren't deserving of consequence, because everything in life will receive consequence, good, bad, otherwise. Yet at the same time, when we're labeling situations as tragedy, we're meeting it in that frequency. And there's no way to raise frequency by meeting a lower frequency with a lower frequency. Like it's just spiritually impossible. And like when I was saying frequency earlier, and you're like, I know people get afraid of these terms, and I'm like, yeah, I get it. I grew up in a very Christian culture, and I used to think like, oh, frequency, energy, that's like new age. But we are spirit. Like we are all connected to spirit. And if we start to look at life and these circumstances in the way of which I have the power within me to meet all of these experiences with the way I see it, and if I see it at the level of shame, it has no place in raising. It has no place in resolution. So yeah, just a different take on tragedy. Anything else we could name in that category, that yeah. Everything in life is provisionary. Like there is no such thing as a lack of provision. Like it just doesn't exist. It couldn't exist. That would mean that God doesn't exist. So
God is either everything or he is nothing.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Yep.
That was where I was at in your interview with Jesse, was in the conversation around death. And so, so good that I went there, because this is, it's something you and I have discussed a lot around provision, right? Like the opportunity to rejoice in what is unfolding right before you, which opens us up to the posture of receiving more. And it's like that literal obliteration of like, yes, 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 like, thank you. And right, which is, as women, especially, that is our posture that we're called to hold. I mean, simultaneously with also being able to hold our no and the boundary to, around yeah. that. But yeah. It really is that, how is this for me? How is this serving me, even in the depths of like our greatest grief? Because whatever we fight for, we get to keep.
Yeah. Oh, it's like oh my God, I have chills. It's like the hardest, well, only hard because of resistance, a brutal lesson in life to face when we resist it. But I have only come to learn this through sitting in the fire of the most uncomfortable moments, facing myself through the mirror of loved ones, knowing that the way they're mirroring me in forms that I don't like are simply revealing to me that there's something greater that I'm not answering to. And so what this made me think of is, you know how like when I start a prayer, and I didn't even really realize I did this until one of the women in the pod that pointed it out. Like I always start with like a thank you. And it's very natural that when I enter into prayer, I always start with thank you, simply because I have no business praying for something in like an ask if I'm not first postured in gratitude and appreciation, because what you appreciate appreciates. And so put that in the realm of like, put that in the realm of
Okay. Like, this feels like a poetry slam. Like, I just
want to. Is it? Yeah, you. I feel like I'm at one, and this is hilarious with you watching you. I have to look away in some moments. So input that into these moments where I'm like, oh hell no, like this wasn't meant for me. You know, like we all have those moments where it's like, nah, this is not meant for me. I wasn't supposed to be here at this moment at this time. Of course I was meant to be here at this moment at this time. I am here at this moment at this time. Like, no. So I'll have these like checks within myself. And I've made it a point that I am very consistent in the really beautiful, the really mundane, and what I've labeled as really terrible, rough, whatever, to go into a posture of, God, show me what I'm not seeing, like what you're providing for me right now that I'm not seeing. Because it's really easy to live in, you know, like mainstream gratitude, appreciation, but it's a whole different experience to have a posture of appreciation when you know that provision is never not there. And if our sight shifts from looking externally for provision as like more money, a better relationship, a better job, more clients, better friends, better clothes, a nicer car, a nicer house, more vacations, that is not provision. That is an external experience that could maybe be a byproduct of provision. But sometimes provision is less. Sometimes provision is less friends. Sometimes provision is less clients. Sometimes provision is no job. Like, you can't really define it based upon a thing. So, yeah.
Boy, we would go here. We're at exact opposite times of our cycles too. So that's even perfect.
Oh, are we?
We're just holding. We are holding the poles for the miraculous.
This is great. I'm in like my yin cave right now. And you're like floating with the sun is how I see it. Literally. And I'm like, it's like, actually, this is really funny. It's like really rainy and dreary out here. And so I'm like all bundled up and yeah.
The moment the sun came out this morning, I was there just like, thank you.
The best. The best.
You know what's interesting? That's actually one of the first like postures of provision that I really started to deeply receive through like seasons of cold was just reception of the kiss of the sun on my skin when it was like, oh my goodness, this is enough. This is enough to be satiated right here forever in this very moment, which is like, I just want to cry. That like feeling of going there of pour into me, which isn't the same as more, the external experience, right? Like this is just like, this could be enough.
Yeah. Richard, that's like a Richard Rohr quote that I love is, the opposite of more is enough.
That's so good. It's amazing where sourdough will take you.
I know. I know. It's all, you only got to start with is a loaf of bread, and lo and behold, here we are. It's not just a loaf of bread.
It's not. It's a living, breathing organism. To be nurtured and to be nourished and to be loved and to be appreciated. I love what you said about, I actually hadn't heard that one from you before, the what you appreciate. And like thinking about the investment, right? Time is our greatest resource, which is, you know, if going back to what you were discussing about prayer too, like that is the posture of thy will be done. That is the posture of true service, of gift me the vision of a different experience with what is before me. Let me receive this in a different way. How can I see that this is for me, which is the greatest act of service, because then we're not attached to anything. We can detach fully and walk in absolute freedom from that angle too, that you know that you are held already by what is in your hands. Man, how did I go there?
I don't know how we get to places we get to, but it's perfect. Yeah.
But the whole thing with the sourdough bread also. Oh, it just like evaporated. God obliterated it. I don't know.
That's okay. Wasn't meant to be.
I detached from my need to know what I was gonna say.
And then all of a sudden silence. It's great.
Welcome everyone to mine and Courtney's friendship and conversations.
Yeah, the best conversations. Did you know that, actually didn't even think about this until I had that interview with Jesse, that dialogue, dia logos, I think in the Latin means like to come together. It means like to unify, but conversation is like to convert. So now I'm like, okay, these are not conversations. These are dialogues. I thought you, of all people, you would find that the most fascinating of anyone I would tell.
I'm so glad you shared it with me, and I'm so glad you shared it here.
Yes.
That we could share that out with the world even more. That's so great. Because the words that we utter from our mouth show the contents of our heart, which shows the posture of our perspective of what's happening around us. And so I love etymology and what words mean, because they are spells. They're spells that we cast on everything around us. And whether we are like receiving something or not, I love dialogue. And I love logos, because this is where we could deep dive into math.
We could. Well, and also like words, although like they do reflect the posture of our hearts, I think there also is something to be said for like, sometimes how do we know any differently? That a lot of language is a lot of BS. I mean, you know, like so much of language was put together in a way to feed our consciousness in a form that we wouldn't know it's being fed. Do you know what I'm saying? Like half of the time, we don't even realize what we are really saying at its core, unless we go back and like study the root and everything, which, you know, isn't always necessary. But yeah, it's an interesting rabbit hole.
Which is why as women, it's really important to pay attention to actions too, right? Yeah. Like lip service is so free and easy to hand out. 1 John 3:18 on my wrist. Let us love without words and tongue, but actions and in truth. Like that part, because you and I have had different conversations around like the definition of words, like that we're both speaking back and forth to one another and what it means, like in dialogue.
Right.
And so, I mean, I have to go through and edit. I'm not going to edit it out.
No, don't. No. I literally, he told me that. And then he tells me that. I hit record and I'm like, well, welcome back everyone to another provision conversation. And I was like, oh, wait. So anyways, But yeah, actions. So like even say like in masculine and feminine dynamics, men are energy readers. They're not hearing the words that we're saying. They're reading the energy that we're outputting. And so like I experience this all the time in my relationship. If I say something and I don't mean it, boy, he's going to know so fast. So action will reveal like our. There are we here?
We're back.
Okay. I don't know where it stopped. Doesn't matter.
You were saying action will reveal.
Yeah, action. Well, not even just action, but like I think what we're putting out based upon like thought, emotion, frequency, that'll have far greater effect on our external world than what we say. So
yeah. It's so true. And what we appreciates. I love laughing through the depths of curiosity and dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna really sit with that one now. Dialogue.
Of course you're gonna sit with it. Oh my gosh, you're hilarious. Ah! I'm so dead. That's too funny.
Just like, isn't weight mean to bind to?
Yeah, it's like in the Hebrew, in the Bible when it talks about to wait upon the Lord. It literally means to be intertwined, to be made one with God.
Mm.
Yeah, I only know a few of these things. I don't get too deep into it. It's fun. I do enjoy etymology, but I don't think I get as deep as you do.
You really do. This is the part that I adore about you. Is for anybody listening to this that hasn't yet experienced Courtney in her like genius way of being that we get to experience in the classes that she teaches is that you bring such depth to them. I was so blown away when I did that sourdough class, like with you, like you really have received so much from life. And there's so many different lenses that you bring to everything you do that really speaks to the woman that you are, like holy daughter that you are, the way that you receive provision, which is so beautiful to just stand back and witness.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I think I accredit that to learning over the years to really let the defenses down and to let myself receive the glory that is right in front of me. And for a more prominent collective of women at this time that is based in control and overfunctioning and thinking that our worth is based upon how young we look and our body structure. It's not natural if we're looking outwardly and like the way media teaches us to know that our beingness of like the joy, our frequency of joy that is within is like 1 centimeter away. Like, what do they say? Like heaven and hell are like 10 inches away. I think I don't remember where I've heard that, some Zen wellness community, but, I accredit that what you're speaking to of like the different lens I've received from to a continual willingness to posture myself as like, I have learned a lot, but I know so little. How can I continue to stay open and like grounded and rooted, but still malleable, like where I can still be molded and formed based upon like an openness to see something new in a situation. And these, when I share this, like I'm talking about very mundane experiences. Like I'll give an example of this because we speak very ethereally, like ethereal. I don't know, whatever. Anyways, our conversations are very ethereal, but practically our lives are just like many other people's. The difference is the way I'm responding to something mundane. So an example would be, food is a really easy example for me because I've talked to you about this and how my boyfriend, his family is Persian and their culture of food was very new to me when I met him. And so I had a very limited view on what tasted good and what didn't. And I'm telling you, like, I actually realize our taste buds are all going to be based upon a frequency that we're emanating. Anyways, when I did first meet him and was entering into like his family's culture of food, I felt very resistant of like, I don't eat chicken and rice. Like I eat chicken on salads and that's so basic and boring, but I can't eat chicken and rice. Cause like when I think of chicken and rice, it's like some bodybuilder bull crap. I don't know. Anyways, doesn't matter. I was very closed off. If you've ever had Persian food, it's like the greatest tasting food in the whole world, but I would have never known
it last night. And it was fantastic.
I'm jealous. I want some right now.
Your teacup made me, I was like, oh, we're there. We're back.
Yes. Tea. I never drank tea before. We're here. So a few weeks ago, and this is like 2 years into me knowing that, like, I love all Persian food. There's only been one dish I've tried and I didn't like, and that doesn't matter. 19 out of 20 dishes I've just absolutely loved. So my boyfriend's mom was going to cook food for us. And my boyfriend was like, what do you want her to make? And I was like, oh, I want kebab. And he's like, no, we can't have that because my dad would have to make it outside. It's cold. I don't want to make him do that. I was like, okay, fine. You pick. Whatever you pick, I'm good with. A lot of men experience like when a woman says that there's strings attached. Okay. So like, if we say that, we got to mean it. I didn't mean it, but I had to learn. I didn't mean it. It wasn't good because then he picks something I've never had before. I hear it and it sounds like, what was it? It was wormasabsi. I can't even explain what it is. So I was very closed off, and my closed off wasn't me telling him like, ew, no, I don't want that. It was this like, the energy I'm giving off in the room is, it's just not fun to be around. And my boyfriend doesn't put up with that. So, you know, just tells me how it is. Like, anyways, he really will tell me how it is. Like, he's not going to put up with that crap. And for me, what I'm speaking to about like, this ethereal experience is that I go into this place where I really check myself on. I close off to things like a new food simply because I'm so uncomfortable with something unknown. So when someone tells me they're going to make me something and I've never had it before, my whole body closes up like a shell because I'm terrified of being met that way. And for everyone, this looks a little bit differently. Like for someone listening, they might be so open to that and absolutely love that. And there might be a different area of their life that they close up to. But recognizing the places within ourselves that we close up to so that we can very like slowly and gently be like releasing of that like filter and that wall we've placed up. And like that day, I very quickly was like, yeah, he's right. I'm being a brat right now about a dish. I bet you, like I have this thing where I know now when I do that, I bet you I'm going to really love this. Turns out it's like one of my favorite Persian dishes now. But I wouldn't know these things if I wasn't willing to take that split second of a moment to be like, I don't have to stay in this place anymore. Like, I don't have to stay fixated on a preconceived notion of how I think something is supposed to be. And that's most of what suffering is and struggle is. It's a preconceived notion of how we think something should go. And when we let that go, we're met with like a whole world of newness, of wonder, of beauty. So, yeah.
Was it gorb sabzi, like the stew with the beans, or was it something different?
What did you call it?
Gorb sabzi.
Warma sabzi. It's spelled like
with a G. Gorb.
I don't know. Not maybe I have it written down somewhere. I can't remember. Hold on, let me see. I thought it was warma sabzi. Maybe not.
Is it the stew with beans in it and lamb?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
At gorb sabzi. We ate it the other night on top of tadig. It was...
Oh, tadig is my favorite.
Come over. Come over and I'll make it for you.
I know, right? Please. That's the one thing well, not the one thing. I haven't learned really how to make much Persian food, but I'm like, I got to be able to carry out this legacy of just incredibleness. So I'm really on it that it's time for me to learn how to make Persian food.
Can you and Petey teach a class on this next?
He doesn't even know how to make it. I got to learn from his parents.
Perfect. Do a class with his parents.
I want to. He actually keeps trying to tell him that too. Like, maybe you guys could do a class with Courtney. Cause they're, I think I've told you this. I'll watch his dad sit down and like sort out the berries for Zeresk Polo. So I'm like, oh my gosh, like what do us Americans have for culture? Hot dogs and hamburgers. Just kidding. But really though.
And sourdough bread. This goes back to, who was it? The Dalai Lama who said the Western woman will save the world. And it's mm-hmm. going to come from the reverence and respect of coming back to what it means to nurture and nourish things from our hands.
Which
brings the conversation back to sourdough again, which is like, it's such a simple practice to introduce into our homes and into our lives that really postures us to receive. To receive what it's like to pick out berries,
yeah. to
create food for our families, because so much of our lives are just like high speed, on the go, eating in the car. This goes back to part of the conversation too. I was going to mention when you were talking about it, about the posture in which we meet things and the action of, I'm doing this unto God. I'm doing this unto God. Every dish that I wash, every piece of laundry I fold, every sweep of the broom, I'm not doing it out of frustration. I'm not doing it out of anger because somebody else isn't helping me. I'm doing it as an act of service to God. Like, I'm doing this because this is going to nourish my family. And so I'm going to pick the very best berries to be able to serve them from.
Yeah. And that's really where like feminine joy stems from, is our ability to like consciously and actively be in that place with whatever tasks and chores we take on in life. And that's how like life flows in continuum, is through our conscious active choice to be in that state, like to stay in that state through opening up the door and like twisting the doorknob to taking a step up the stairs. It's not always this like really eclectic. And this is the problem with a lot of like online communities. It's not the problem with the online community. It's the problem we can find ourselves in online communities of teaching a specific topic, is leading ourselves to believe it looks like this big, grandiose, extravagant thing all the time. And it definitely doesn't. Like, it's the most minute, mundane pieces of our lives that we're not willing to look at that will cause the transformation that we're seeking. So
spiritual basics, it's all back to the basics, spiritual phonics. It's amazing how energy extensive and expansive it really is to be able to meet simplicity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Through the eyes of love too, which is like, you know, we were talking and don't get me wrong. Like the last month of my life has been one of active practice in this.
Yeah.
Like getting my feet back on the ground and under me through the practice of like my little basic things, like my morning routine, my evening, like inventory and like doing all of those things, not from a place of like, oh, I have to do this. It's like, I get to do this. I get to serve God in this way. I get to serve Grayson in this way. I get to serve my community in this way. And like anybody else who's like connected to me from a place of love that I get to serve from that posture of, doing it unto God first and foremost, that sets the tone that like breathes life into. I also learned the other day that I was totally wrong. Like this is my amending. I'm amending this live that sourdough isn't a bacteria, that it's a yeast. They're very different microbes apparently, and like completely different living organisms. And if Morley was here, he would be able to walk us through it. But him and Dr. Liz very kindly adjusted, reorganized my system around the difference of what a living organism is from that yeast standpoint. But like they, you know, bringing it back to the plants, we can speak life into plants. We speak life into water. Everything holds memory around us.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
The Western woman can change can hopefully help change the world one sourdough bread loaf at a time.
And she is like, there is something to be said for putting our focus and awareness in who we like. Spiritual growth for the world occurs one soul at a time raising, because for every one soul that raises cancels out tens of thousands in the lowest of frequencies. And I'm not saying cancels the soul. I'm saying that frequency is overridden by joy or wherever they're operating. And so
it transmutes it. That's what it does. It transmutes
it. Yeah. Thank you. I don't always have the best language there. I can envision it in my mind, but truly what we can do in our homes is so incredibly impactful to life. And I think if we really knew that, like if we really let ourselves know that and live in that, we'd see the beauty of the world. And this is something I touched a little bit on with Jesse as well, was like, I'm coming more and more to realize that if we look out at the world through the lens of media and news or anywhere we want to look, like we can see a lot of darkness and we can see a lot of like, there's so much to be fixed and transformed and saved and changed. But if we look directly within our souls and our homes and we start to find the beauty that already is, we realize like we are the ones creating the beauty that we're seeking and craving, and going to the extent of like looking so far outwardly at what's going wrong. And I'm not saying this to discount tragedies. I don't know how else to name them in the world, but actually our work is in our homes. Like our work is with ourselves. Spiritual work has to start with us, like who I am being. Anyways, I'm sure that could be a whole different conversation for another day.
We could deep dive into this. This is one that I love about like the revolution won't actually be televised, right? Like
of course not.
The way that I contribute, like the Renaissance that's coming online, because during any time there is a war that is taking place, the people back home always begin creating. That is the way that they transform and shift, that is like on foot. And realistically, like we get to behold what is placed in our hands as an opportunity to feed the collective consciousness of what is happening. Like, I can't stop. I can't bring peace. I can't bring, like, but I can find peace in my day-to-day life just simply by finding it through the lens of love.
Yeah. And all living organisms around you feel that. And that's the core basics of the raising and elevating of life. It's very simple. It's very simple.
It's very simple and an active posture.
Yeah, an active posture indeed. Yeah.
So good. Well, I could probably talk at the dialogue with you for another like 5 hours, but
you're going to be on this one now. I'm loving it. Oh gosh, this is how you get Paris, is with some good old etymology. I know how to get you.
I'm so glad that you get me. Great. But you know what's even better though about that? That little adjustment starts to shift so much in the consciousness that you create ripples in everyone around me, because I'm no longer trying to convert them in my
conversations. Yeah, I don't want to convert anyone here. You don't have to agree with anything I said. If it resonates, beautiful. And if it doesn't, beautiful.
Let's dialogue about it.
Yeah, let's dialogue. Let's come together.
Thank you, Courtney, so much for being here and for sharing your gift. Would you like to share how people can find out more information about your sourdough class?
Yeah, and thank you for having me. Yeah, I have a link that I'll give to you maybe. But yeah, I mean, I share more about it on Facebook, Instagram, but I do have a link that that's where you can sign up. And if you have any questions, you can always reach out.
Yeah. And either way, I think we both really would encourage you to just try and to play. Like, that was the thing that Courtney dualed me through when I was so scared to bake my very first loaf of bread because I was so afraid to fail. Just.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that I would encourage is like, just try and play. Yeah. Like,
don't even try, just do. That's something actually in our home. We don't try, we do. You either do or you don't. And that doesn't mean, do doesn't mean it's perfect. It just means you did it. And whatever that turns out to be, beautiful. So, yeah.
So good. Thank you for leaving us with that little nugget.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. This was really wonderful.
That's beautiful.